This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's hear from the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mike Clements, our Green and Gold Insider.
It's time for a Chili's Green and Gold update on the Bill Michaels Show. Brought to you by Chili's. Stop by Chili's today for the 3 for $10 deal. A starter, entree, and drink for just 10 bucks. Training camp accommodations provided by the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay, featuring newly renovated guest rooms. Now, here's Green Bay insider Mike Clemens.
And joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline is Mike Clemens from Green Bay. Michael, how are you today?
Good, Joe. Yeah, you know, there was one subject that was getting to be tense each day in the Packers locker room during training camp, and that was the Josh Jones situation. And, you know, when the team puts up, you know, non-football illness, this could be something serious. You know, you have no idea what it could be. Life-threatening, you have no idea.
Right.
Now, you know, Josh Jones is a guy who had very great athletic skills, came out of North Carolina. Brian Gutekunst actually used to scout that area. He, in a way, sponsored him. You know, he had friends saying, have you looked at this kid? Athletic and all over the field. But once he got to Green Bay, he looks like a prototype for a strong safety and a guy who could step up and play linebacker. And you love the height and the speed and the aggressiveness and the hustle and jovial in the locker room. But the guy's got a hair trigger on him. And so then on top of that, after 2 or 3 years, and his buddy Ha Ha Clinton Dix gets shipped out to the Washington Redskins, and Morgan Burnett, you know, this was the plan. You're going to replace Morgan Burnett and other safeties with Ha Ha Clinton Dix and Josh Jones. I mean, this was the plan. That's what you invested first and second round picks on these guys. Jones just never picked up the defense. They couldn't trust them back there to make the right calls. And so then the team goes and gets Adrian Amos from the Bears. Then use their second pick in the first round to trade up and get Darnell Savage Jr. out of Maryland. And Josh Jones says, I'm skipping the OTAs. I want to be traded out of Green Bay. Well, then he's got to show up to the mandatory minicamp, and here's his reaction.
According to, you know, NFLPA rules, you can't, there is no, what harm can be done from missing?
I'm just wondering if
not coming to voluntary work.
The inability to compete for a job.
I've been competing since day one I got here. Y'all remember that. Y'all was out here at OTAs my rookie year. Y'all was in training camp my rookie year, correct?
Yeah.
Am I right? So, all right.
It's the NFL. You got to compete every year for a job, don't you?
Of course. Right. Of course, and I've been doing that.
But just not this spring, I guess is what.
I haven't been here.
Right.
So what are you talking about?
That's what I'm asking.
Did you not just hear what I said, why I wasn't here?
Yes.
All right, then. And am I dealing with a hamstring? You heard that news, correct? So if I was able to practice, I would be out there because I'm here. I'm present, correct? Aren't you talking to me right now? All right, then.
Josh.
You know, football, Joe, is a sport that has completely flipped in 15 years during training camp. It's gone from 4 or 5 hours a day on the field in two-a-days and 2 or 3 hours in the class to just the opposite, 2 hours on the field, 4 or 5 hours in the class. It's a much more complex, schematic, concept kind of sport, and that's what these guys are looking for, you know, at all positions, including safety, one of the captains of the defense.
Well, the thing is with Josh Jones, you know, this is a guy that was going into his third season. You know, I don't know where he gets the right to just, you know, think that he's got all of this say and all this leverage. The guy just has an attitude. And Josh Jones had ample opportunity last season when he was back playing with the team from L.A. all the way on to kind of show what he was capable of doing for this team, being a second-round draft selection. He wasn't able to do that. So now we look at Matt LaFleur, Mike. How did Matt LaFleur handle this in his press conference over the weekend after they cut Josh Jones.
Yeah, you're talking about Jones' opportunities last year, too, and I remember an awful lot of penalties. I mean, there were some kick returns that got called back because of penalties that Jones made, you know, on kick coverage or kick return. And then don't forget, too, you know, so then they let bygones be bygones. Brian Gutekunst says, we still want to give this guy a chance. So they get into camp, and, you know, Matt LaFleur lays down the law and says, okay, it's thud. Do not put, you know, your fellow teammates to the ground. They're 2 days into pads, helmets and pads. Trey Carson, who now is a guy who's got a serious shot at being the number three running back on this team, is running outside, collides with another player, kind of lowered his shoulder a little bit. Josh Jones didn't like that, and he takes Trey Carson and throws him to the ground. And Matt LaFleur comes in and ejects him. I mean, we've had over 90-plus players touch the field during training camp, and only one has been ejected for practice during the entire training camp, and it's Josh Jones, you know?
Yep.
So this situation develops now, and then they held him on a family night, and then they started listing him as with an illness. Well, the illness turns out to be a hyperthyroid, which is something that's treatable with medication. His camp let, you know, ESPN know that yesterday. So in terms of where Josh Jones is going to go next, if someone's going to pick him up off of waivers, I think the Packers were hoping that someone would want to trade if they lost a couple of safeties in these preseason games, but we're down to the last week, and Green Bay knows that, you know what, there's other guys now that we want to add to the team. They've already, you know, brought in replacements that they want at other positions. They signed an outside linebacker, James Folston, a cornerback, and they also took off of waivers Nicholas Grigsby, a guy who's played in 23 games with stints with the Lions, the Patriots, and the Rams that they think can help him out at inside linebacker because they're short at that with Curtis Bolton, and you know, a special teams guy. So they don't need Josh Jones anymore. And Matt LaFleur, you know, tried to help the kid out to see if maybe someone else in the NFL will pick him up, and we asked him about this last night.
Yeah, I can't speak for him, but what I will say was, when he was here, he did everything we asked him to do, and that's all you can ask of a player. And so, again, it's unfortunate that it didn't work out, but it is what it is.
We're talking
about Josh Jones got his wish.
Yeah, he did. He did. He's gone now. We're talking with Mike Lemons, our Green and Gold Insider, here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. It is the Bill Michaels Show. So now, Mike, I'm looking at the depth at safety. We've got Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage as the likely week one starters. Behind that, though, I got some questions about the depth. Is a guy like Natrell Jamerson ready? Is a guy like Raven Green ready?
Yeah, I think that what they've seen on tape in the preseason now has got them confidence that they can move on. And you're right. You know, the former Badger, Jamerson, has been getting a lot of snaps, and I pointed that out early in camp. And another thing that happened about the same time that Josh Jones was put on, you know, the injured list with the, quote, illness, they also had re-signed Ibrahim Campbell, a guy who's been around the league 4 or 5 years. They brought in last season, and he played in 3 games before he suffered an ACL on a punt play, special teams in that sloppy field against the Cardinals that first weekend in December, you know, when McCarthy got fired. They really like this guy. He's smart, a player out of Northwestern. So they're going to wait for him to finished with the rehab of his ACL, where he's just amazingly ahead of schedule, and they'll bring him back, you know, sometime during the fall because they really like what they saw in him. So at that point, you got 4 or 5 guys, and they feel pretty good about the depth. And Raven Green, you know, is number 36, is a guy who just keeps on improving. In the off season, he was there every day. He really impressed them. He's out of James Madison. He's 5'11", 200 pounds, but he's got kind of that Nick Collins build, 24 years old. And I asked him yesterday afternoon, what's the key? Because all these coaches talk about how hard this guy prepares during the week.
I mean, just being able to find out exactly what it is, the emphasis of the week, and being able to be quick to apply it. Just being able to play many different positions, and versatility is something that I pride myself on. I mean, I like being here. That's what I'm saying.
He likes being in Green Bay.
Well, that's good. That's good. We like to have guys that play for a professional football team that actually like the team that they're playing for and that they're not causing any drama.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So then the next question for on defense, I think that's, you know, the biggest alarm on Mike Pettine's board right now is at inside linebacker, because Oren Burks goes down at inside linebacker, and then you had some untested guys, you know, Ty Summers, a seventh-round pick. Well, Ty has led in tackles in these preseason games. They put the radio helmet on him. They think he can be a good backup to Blake Martinez, but they also need a guy, you know, who's really physical. They thought maybe they had that last year with James Crawford. Antonio Morrison was in the team for a while last year and gone. So then this Curtis Bolton, this number 40. And I remember, Joe, when you were up here, too, during the week of the joint practices with the Texans, they started working in number 40 a lot more often. And it's like, who is this guy? Well, he's ends up being a very physical thumper, 6 foot, 228 pounds. And he ends up leaving the Raiders game with his knee in a brace and crutches. And we talked to Curtis, and he said he's going to have more testing today. Over the weekend, they couldn't get results. He doesn't know if he's got a torn ACL or not. So, you know, he's a guarantee he ain't going to be ready for the Bears or the Vikings when they get into the regular season. But that now, you know, you're looking for other guys to step up. There was a Blake Shelton who had a huge tackle at the end of the Raiders game that I thought was a great tackle, and the refs threw the flag and called it unnecessary roughness. I thought it was kind of ridiculous that way. So Blake Martinez, who did not make the trip to the Raiders because he said, you know what, I'm having some trouble with my back. So they did testing just to make sure he was going to be good to go when they head into the regular season next week. Was asked, boy, you know, a year ago at this time, you know, Jake Ryan goes down in practice with a torn ACL. I mean, we can never seem to get a guy alongside you at inside linebacker for, you know, a very long period of time.
I think so, but for the past like 3 years now, I've kind of gotten new guys in there every other play, kind of. So it's just been kind of a thing that I've worked into just my training, just understanding what every guy needs to do, whether we're in base, nickel, dime, whatever kind of personnel we're in, that I can help those guys get aligned, and I kind of pride myself in being able to help them.
That's Blake Martinez. And Mike, stay right there, because on the other side, we want to get into John Gruden, you know, made his comments about the field last week. So I know Matt LaFleur over the weekend responded to that. So we're going to get to that. And we're also going to talk about another interesting competition, and that's at the wide receiving core. Where does that stand as of today? Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, joins us here on the Bill Michaels Show. He's presented by Chili's, three for $10 deal. And also training camp accommodations provided by the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center Green Bay, featuring newly renovated guest rooms. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider. More from him next here on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Picture this. You and a friend sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Yes, it's true. If you enter Cousin Subs' best seats in the house promotion, you could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. A couple of pairs of lucky Packers fans are going to be chosen prior to each home game for the VIP experience. Enter daily through December 8th by completing the entry form at CousinSubs.com or simply go to Packers.com/best seats. That's Packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I don't know what that was all about. I'm not going to make a big deal about the field. We like the field. We thought the field was perfectly ready to roll. You'll have to ask Green Bay about that.
I think Oakland may have known a little something about that field before they made that decision to not bring all their guys.
Yeah, the hilarious back and forth between the two head coaches, John Gruden and Matt LaFleur, on, I don't know if you want to call it field gate or turf gate or Canada gate, but just put a gate in front of there, and that's what it was. Just a craptastic show on Thursday between the Packers and Raiders up in Winnipeg. Welcome back. It's the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe Zanzola with you in for Bill today. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, I mean, do we have any more clarity on this whole field issue from last week? I mean, it was funny to hear Matt LaFleur respond back to that.
Well, one of the things that I'm wondering is that when Matt Klein, who's part of the Packers staff, their advanced team guy, he handles the travel, coordinates all the team's travel, you know, where the facilities are going to be, the rooms, everything, the transportation, buses. He was to go in advance, which is normal standard operating procedure. I know that he's going to look at that field and say, you know, back to Gutekunst, hey, I don't know about this. And I just want to know when the goalpost removed. Or if it's one of these things where the crew is saying, oh, yeah, we'll get to that Friday. No problem. Should be no problem. And you don't actually get to see the finished product. I'm sorry, not Friday, but, you know, a couple days before Thursday night and the game. But listen, Green Bay was absolutely in the right to disapprove of that hole in both those end zones. There's no reason to be sending a tight end, Robert Tonyan, over the middle 2 yards in and have to step on that thing. That's an ankle injury just waiting to happen. It was absolutely silly. The league makes $10 billion or more a year. If you're going to do this and put this stuff on the road, then follow through. If you've got to spend $20,000 to fill the end zone with new carpet, do it. I mean, you know, this is people are saying, well, only 20,000 people, who cares? The NFL should stand for excellence in the country, wherever they go. And they've got a bad track record now. The thing that happened to us in Canton, you know, Canton is almost like a high school down-home thing. It was an accident, all right? They've been doing it that way for years, and the paint crew was out there till 1 o'clock because the field, we were sitting on that Canton field the night before when Brett was getting inducted. And then all through the night, they're picking up chairs and folding chairs and plywood and getting the playing field ready for 24 hours later. They're going to play on that field. And then they're painting it up, and they're putting too much paint on it. And then the stuff dries like a rock. And Ted Thompson was absolutely right. By 5 o'clock, say, I'm not going to have guys go over the middle of this. And they're trying to scrape it off. It was just a mess. Now they play the game, and then they have the ceremony because they need that for all the facilities in Canton. So that was an accident. But Mexico was no accident last year, and this was stupidity as well. And you know what? At the end of the day, Mark Murphy can now say to the league, anytime the league wants to say, hey, Green Bay, we want you to play international, all Mark Murphy has to say is this going to be another Winnipeg.
Yep, absolutely.
Because he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. So wanted to talk a little bit about offensive line, okay?
Sure.
Something that we learned over the weekend, all right, sure, it's David Bakhtiari. You got Corey Linsley at center. You got Billy Turner hanging in there at right guard. And Brian Bulaga, you hope that he's going to be able to get through the season at right tackle. They feel good. They feel good about Alex Light to back up Bulaga, but they think he's certainly far and above Jason Spriggs, which is why they got rid of that second-round pick. But there is still a battle going on at left guard. And Lane Taylor, you know, is a good player, good guy who they've entrusted to take over for Josh Sitton when they cut him Labor Day weekend 3 years ago, is now in a battle for his job with Elton Jenkins out of Mississippi State. And it's just a matter of size. Jenkins is 6'5", 330 pounds, and he's just huge. And he's just towers over Lane Taylor, and he's smart, and he's picking it up. And he, not only that, he's also pretty good at a backup center role, too. He's about second or third in the depth chart behind Linsley for that. But we talked to the coaches over the weekend. They are excited over Elton Jenkins, so it might be only a matter of time before he replaces Lane Taylor as the season goes on, or he'll be there if one of those guys get injured.
Yeah, and I'll say this, too, Mike. I really feel like offensive line, that depth, even after cutting Spriggs loose, that is a really deep area. There's just so many guys behind this starting group. Whoever wins the battle at left guard, I like the guys that are behind him.
And Adam Pankey has stepped up his game too. He's a backup guard, you know, maybe tackle. But they don't know either who, if David Bakhtiari goes down, what the hell they're going to do, you know, at left tackle.
Right.
Justin McCray has worked very hard as a backup center and at guard, and he's even had to play tackle as well. But it's been a while since they actually had a guy who, as I've said this before, J.C. Tretter, who's now the center of the Browns, the few times that Bakhtiari has missed, he actually did the best job, I thought, at filling in a left tackle 4 or 5 years ago when he was still with Green Bay.
Well, let's go over to wide receivers, Mike. That has been the most talked about competition here so far in training camp. So the question really lies with the two guys that have really shown up in these games and in practice, Allen Lazard, Darius Shepherd. What are their chances of making the 53?
Yeah, so, you know, you got Davante Adams, you got Geronimo Allison, you got Marquez Valdes-Scantling in his second year, 6'4", flying down the field, maybe the fastest guy on the team, maybe one of the fastest guy in the league, Craig, frankly. And then the very reliable Jake Kumerow. Equanimeous St. Brown, Looks like a high ankle sprain. Saw him on a scooter in the locker room yesterday, the leg all wrapped up. He's going to be out for a while. Jamon Moore, he doesn't seem to be able to, you know, get over the hump and catching the football. So it's these two guys, undrafted guys, Alan Lazard, number 13, 6'5", 227 pounds, and Darius Shepard, number 10, who not only do they have, he made another spectacular catch against the Raiders, watching the tape again over the weekend. He's only 5'11", 186, 23 pounds out of North Dakota State. But we talked to Alvis Whitted, the receivers coach, about why Lazard and Shepard have flashed in this camp.
Both of those young men, really, really high football IQ, number one. I'd say that's the biggest thing. No stage is too big for either of them. I would also say that as well. Shep, I really love what he brings to the table just as far as his toughness, his willing to do anything, you know, on the football field to help his team, to help this team win. And the same thing for Allen as well. You know, Allen can play in many different positions on the field and can function, you know, in this offense and in many facets. But I think the thing that I really like about Allen, what separates him, and is that he's being more physical in the run game. He's established his physicality in the run game and just knows what we're trying to get accomplished, you know, from a run standpoint and how it marries up with the play pass. So he's done a great job, and the effort shows up on tape. And for both of those guys, the effort is there. That's the biggest thing that you see when those two guys step on the field, is just the high effort, the energy, and just going out to try to make plays.
A couple of guys you really want to root for, and not only just to make the 53, but also to have an impact on this team in football games as the season goes along. We're talking with Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider. Mike, one more for you, and that's over with the running back situation. We know Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are the one and two, but who could be that number three running back for the Packers?
Yeah, big disappointment that we're now in the final week of training camp. And by the way, Joe, the atmosphere around here at practice has changed tremendously from the week when you were up here during the joint practices. You remember how loud the music was?
Oh, yeah.
The crowds and all that? Well, we went into regular season mode. The practices are closed. It's just media, and we're in there for only half the periods. And then when they get into the team, it's presumably strategy stuff that they're already installing for Bears and maybe even Vikings. The music is toned down now. And we even asked LaFleur, you know, so what's going on with the music? And he says, you know what, I want a little bit more concentration. I need these guys to come up with their own energy. So he's scaled that back, and it's a lot more quieter, a lot more focused out there as we get into this final week. But you don't have a running game. I mean, you know, you thought that Aaron Jones might get a series or two the other night against the Raiders, and then he pulled his starters off when he saw that half the Raiders didn't even get on the plane. So those guys aren't going to get any snaps. Jamal Williams should be good to go by next week against the Bears. So you got Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, and then that third running back. To me, Trey Carson has come in there as the number three running back. Dexter Williams, the rookie they brought out of Notre Dame. The good news is Danny Vitale, who flashed early in camp, is now back after 2 weeks out with a calf injury. He should be good to go for the Bears game. But one thing you're going to hear that these guys talk about is with this outside zone scheme is that they need the running backs to be patient and press the hole. So I asked the kid out of Notre Dame, Dexter Williams, what does that mean when the coaches are saying to the running backs, wait to press the hole?
So basically when we say press the hole, it's basically cutting at the heels of the lineman. So you want to be able to, you don't want to make your cut early because it can cause like the linebackers to really fall off. So you don't want, you're really just like kind of setting up your blocks. So basically if you cut too early, you don't get a chance to set up your blocks, the linebackers fall off and you're tackled for a little gain. You don't get the full experience of the play. So when you press it and you finally get to set up those blocks, it opens up even more. It might not look like it, but when you're running, you press the hole, it opens up a lot more and you're able to get more out of that play.
And you can only do that with live bullets. And so both LaFleur and his running backs coach, Brent Sermon, said, you know what, somewhere there in the second half, it finally clicked for the kid. You know, he finally saw it. And it took three preseason games, you know, and maybe about 30 snaps. But that's what this takes to install this offense or to just teach a rookie player like this what it is they mean. And now they feel pretty good about it moving forward.
Yeah, no question about it. He is Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider. Mike, as always, thank you so much for all the latest up in Green Bay, and we'll talk to you again later this week as we get closer to the final preseason game and the cuts as well.
You bet, Joe. Thank you much.
All right, and Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. And all of Mike's reports and updates presented by Chili's and their 3-for-$10 deal, as well as accommodations provided by the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center Green Bay, featuring newly renovated guest rooms. All of that courtesy of Mike Clemens.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.